You're so smart.
I try. I do try.
All right. Are we ready to start the show at this point?
Oh, we've already started the show. The show has started. Everyone's going to hear all of that, especially my crappy audio quality, because I am not in my home studio.
Where are you today, Mickey?
I am in Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C., in an Embassy Suites.
You're living the high life, aren't you?
I am. There's even a Cheesecake Factory down on the lower level that I'm not allowed to eat at.
I was going to say, how's the whole ketosis going?
It's going pretty well, actually. I'm down 20 pounds in 6 weeks just through changing my diet, not through exercise. Though this week I have started adding about an hour a day on the treadmill. So I'm hoping that, you know, by the time I see our hopefully sold out boot camp in June, that I'll be looking pretty svelte.
Well, you know, we are now 30 days out.
We are indeed 30 days out. What do you happen to know where our numbers stand with our boot camp there, Brian? Oh, wait, but before you say that, let me say, hi, everybody, and welcome to DevOps FM. I'm your host, Mickey Gousset, and with me is...
Brian Randall.
And what y'all can't see is the look of pure disgust that Brian gives me because he hates it when I just randomly put the show open in there.
Well, you cut me off. I was about to answer your question.
Okay, well, let's go back to my very important question, which was, who's the handsomest show host? Oh, wait, we know that answer. So, no, we were talking about our Global DevOps Bootcamp.
Yes. And so the last time I looked, which was either last night or the night before, it's kind of a blur because I was traveling this week, but we had 14 set up. However, I did present yesterday at Redgate's SQL in the City event, and when I did that, there were some eager people who said they wanted to attend. So while we're talking, I might just jump over to Eventbrite and take a look at the number of people. We'll include the location where you can register and all the details in the show notes. But if we go to events and we see Global DevOps Bootcamp, LA, California, we currently have 15 tickets sold. Fantastic. And just remember, those tickets are free. You just got to show up and be willing to learn about DevOps, where you build it, you run it.
And be willing to just, you know, hang out with you and I. That's also kind of important.
Because that's what people are looking forward to.
Oh, that's what I think people would be looking forward to. How could they not be? Because for anyone who came to MMS 2013, to one of our top scoring conference talks ever, it's just, you know, the thrill and the magic of Brian and Mickey in the same room is palpable.
You and the big words, boy. You did you have a lot of caffeine before we got on this call?
No, but we are recording this call late at night, so you'll have to excuse me for any super big, large words that I use.
You're a bit punchy, aren't you? And looking behind you, you've got one of those wonderful hotel pictures. It looks like there's a dog standing up in
It is a dog dressed like either Napoleon or a colonial outfit.
I would say, since you're outside Washington, D.C., I would bet that's more colonial, and that looks kind of like a George Washington outfit.
It very well could be. So what are you up to, Brian?
Well, it's been a DevOps week. Tuesday, I went to Colorado, did an all-day workshop for a private event on Azure DevOps. It was crazy because I had a full room of people. And I had everybody. I had network administrators. I had a guy who manages their firewalls. I had project management people. I had developers, and I had people who did Java and C Sharp. I had database developers. It was a crazy rich mix of people, which was really cool because I did a bunch of demos in the morning. Then after lunch, it was just Q&A, and they would ask me questions, and we'd do demos and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Then I rushed to the airport, jumped on a plane, flew to Los Angeles. And then the next morning, we did Redgate's SQL in the City event in LA, where we talked about compliant database DevOps. Donovan Brown came to town and did the keynote. Steve Jones was there, and Ike Ellis was there, and I was there, and some of the great folks from Redgate, and had a good time. And then had a little dinner because traffic sucks. And then I got home last night about 9. So I've been on the road for 3 days, and then I leave Saturday for London and SDD.
London, yet another city and country, England, that I've not been to yet.
That's kind of sad. I love London. It's a great city. There's a great quote. I'd have to look up who it's from. I'll put it in the show notes. But I think it goes something like this. When a man grows tired of London, he grows tired of life.
That's very profound.
When you think about it, now granted, it's a little chauvinistic because it really should be when a person, you know, but, you know, it was probably some old fart Englishman. I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. Anyway, so last week, you and I both missed out on being in Seattle for Build 2019.
We did. But you didn't have to miss out because you could watch almost all of it online.
That is true. We'll put some of the links in the show notes, but there are some great sessions. I've watched a couple of them, and the amount of amazing technology coming out of Microsoft right now is just crazy town. One of my favorite sessions was actually a short 20-minute session done. Oh, I should have been more prepared. Mickey will edit this. No, he won't. He really doesn't.
No, I won't.
All right, but I will look it up in a second, and I'll come back to that talk. But the bottom line is lots of good talks.
Well, there were some good announcements, some very interesting announcements. I think one of the ones that got a lot of interest is how we can actually sign into Azure DevOps now. Because it used to be to sign into Azure DevOps, you used your MSA account or you used your corporate account. But they just added the ability to sign into Azure DevOps using your GitHub credentials.
Yeah, that one was something that we had heard about a little earlier, and it was nice to see that come to the light of day. I think that'll make it a lot easier, particularly the fact that we really see this ability where people want to use some things in GitHub, but then they want to take advantage of how awesome Azure Pipelines is.
So I haven't actually set that up yet to try it, but I will be interested to see how, you know, see if I decide to start using that as another way of accessing how I do things in Azure DevOps.
Yeah, for me, it's something that it's on the list, and I'll definitely do it. But right now, since I'm in kind of identity madness, if you've ever seen me do a talk live, you know, just too many identities trying to do different things and adding the complexity in my mind. And once again, this is Brian's personal problem of combining my GitHub ID with my Microsoft account is something I'm not ready to do because I'm still dealing with the fact that I have my main email address and my main identity is bifurcated between my MSA and my org ID. And I've got to.
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah. I get that dialogue all the time, and I want to do the combination and switch my MSA, but I'm afraid. I'm terrified. Honestly, this is probably one of the worst things about the Microsoft platform today is the identity story. If you've been around for a long time, if you're starting fresh today and your company's moving from on-prem to the cloud and you want to use your work ID, it's not a big problem. But for consultants and people like you, it can be kind of difficult. But like I said, there was lots of great talks, lots more in Azure DevOps, but I did look up the talk. It was by Jeff Holland. He's a product manager at Microsoft. Technically, it looks like he's a senior PM manager for Azure Functions. And he did a really great 20 minutes, just real quick, almost all demo, where he showed how to build a serverless web app with Blazor, Azure Functions, and Azure Storage. It was just fun. I loved it. He's just got a big personality, big smile, just a big personality. And it was really, really great talk. We'll put the link in the show notes. But yeah, you know, that was an example of some of the talks I saw. I tried to watch some of the keynote. It really bummed me out when they opened up the keynote and the HoloLens demo didn't work. I still don't have any inside poop to know what happened. But boy, you know, a little bit of technical failure and the guys up on stage just kind of ran for the hills, which was kind of sad.
My favorite part of the keynote was Scott Hanselman. And when Scott Hanselman had a slight technical issue, and then he basically walked down the stairs behind the desk and then came back up to restart his keynote, acting like he had just come back up on stage. He handled that just, you know, superbly.
Yeah, a lot of the talk's really good. I understand what they're trying to do with the keynote, and I can see some some interesting things they're trying to do, but sometimes that first run can be a little rough around the edges. And I heard from some friends who actually got to go to Build, and they were frustrated by the fact that maybe they couldn't get in the keynote room, they couldn't see things. And so, you know, kudos for people for trying, but sometimes, you know, you got to really consider the people that spend a lot of time and money to go to be there in person, and they really should get their money's worth. And I think that is disconcerting. So I don't know if they took care of those people or anything, but, you know, overall, I heard Build was a big success. I love going there for the socializing. It's great that the content's online. So you really have no excuse to not really have a look at what's available now and what's coming soon from Microsoft.
Now, one of the other things I was super excited that was getting announced that did get announced at Build was multi-stage YAML pipelines.
So you're super excited, huh?
I am, mostly because it's a feature that everyone has been asking for, the ability to do both build and release in a YAML file. Because we used to be able to do build, you know, we could do YAML builds, but now you have the capability to also do YAML releases, which has been a big ask from a lot of my customers. It's actually been a blocker for a couple of my customers. So the fact that we can do that now, I'll be honest, I haven't played with it much yet, but I'll be interested to get my fingers a little more dirty with it, especially because I'm doing a CICD talk in July at the Kansas City Developer Conference, which I just found out Marcel will be at, and Damien will be at, and John Alexander will be at.
When is this?
Pretty fun.
When is this?
July 17th through the 19th.
And you're going to be in lovely Kansas City, is that right?
I am. I'm going to get some barbecue. Oh, but let me tell you, I finished talking about Build, but then we got to circle back to this because I got to tell you what I'm trying to do now with my demos.
Why don't you just tell me? This is okay. Our podcast. You can do it any way you want.
That's true. So I was, when we were at VS Live New Orleans, I was talking with a friend of the show, Donovan Brown, and we were discussing how you go about building demos and prepping for talks and things like that. And he said that one of the things he does is he actually builds scripts to spin up his entire demo environment and also tear down his entire demo environment. So I've decided with my CICD talk, I want to try to do that. So I've been working with the Azure DevOps REST API, and I'm spinning up a team project and, you know, putting the code in the Git repo and getting it pushed up and building out my pipelines automatically with JSON and all that to have my pre-built environment. But at the same time, I'm also building a reverse script to tear it all down for me afterwards. And part of this is to make it very easy to be able to practice my demos because I can just run the script and it'll spin everything up. But I'm also getting to learn a little more of how the REST APIs work and how some other things work behind the scenes. And it's really turning out pretty cool.
Now, what are you scripting and using? PowerShell? Or are you actually writing C#?
Oh, no, I'm using PowerShell, doing it all with PowerShell. And then what I'm going to do is create a probably a repo on GitHub where I can say, here's my demo that I did for Kansas City Developer Conference, and here are my scripts if you want to spin up the environment and try to run through it yourself.
That's pretty darn slick.
I just have to remember to remove all my personal access tokens before I put it in the GitHub.
Well, you really shouldn't be saving those in script files, right? Those should be parameters.
Ultimately, they will be parameters, or actually I'll put them in a key vault and I'll pull them from the key vault. But that's what I've been doing, and I'm kind of excited about that. That's what I've been working on the past couple of days. Right now I'm at the trying to figure out how to build the JSON to be able to create a build definition that'll then show up in the GUI, which is, I was trying to do it by hand, but I think I'm going to cheat and actually just go build the build definition that I want and then export it, which will export the JSON that I need to be able to automatically create it in the future.
Yeah, I've done it a couple different ways in the past. You can definitely do it with JSON. What you got to watch out for, from my experience in this, is that there's going to be, in the exported version, some build-specific information. You got to trim that out before you shove it in, and there's some property settings to watch out for. But it's been a while since I've had to do that.
Well, I will hopefully on our next podcast have an update for all of our listeners to let them know how my scripting is coming along.
So listeners, yeah. So hopefully there is someone actually listening to this to make this worth it. But, you know, it's always fun. I like the excuse to have to talk to you. So that's always good.
So, Brian, I know you're a big Kubernetes buff. Or at least you have a talk that you do on Kubernetes.
Yeah, no, I've been playing with it for the now, God, we're going on a year and a half. And I haven't used it yet in anger in a large production system. It would have been interesting to have a couple years ago when Ian and I were working on Valhalla. But fundamentally, the more I work with it and then I talk about it, I can see some really great usages for it. And, you know, like containers, right? It's finding that Zen for containers, serverless, and everything else that's going on. But I do feel that the momentum behind it is getting everybody's attention. And in all honesty, I do think sometimes it's a solution looking for a problem in that a lot of people don't need Kubernetes for what they're doing, particularly when you look at the architecture and design of their existing applications. Now, if you really have a good microservice architecture and you have this need for scale and control, there's a lot of great things that Kubernetes brings. But yeah.
So what is Kubernetes, real quick, just for people that may not know what Kubernetes is? And why did I even bring up Kubernetes? Because there was an Azure DevOps announcement around Kubernetes.
Well, Kubernetes is sometimes referred to as a data center operating system. It's basically an orchestration manager for managing clusters and the containers that run on top of them. Basically, you package your containers into what are called pods, and there's just an enormous amount of Kubernetes-specific vocabulary around things like the control plane and the they used to be called minions. I always forget what they renamed them. But the bottom line is there's all these different pieces that go together, and there's some great things because it uses a declarative, here we go, YAML model, and you can describe what you want your cluster to look like and what you want your configuration to look like, and it's a declarative model, and you feed the configuration in there, and Kubernetes takes care of the details. Your pods are things, they're cattle. You just, Kubernetes takes care of it. When one fails or has a problem, it'll take care of that. You can build, you know, high availability and fault tolerant systems with it. You know, it came out of a lot of work that Google had done. There's a whole history you can read about it online, but Kubernetes got released to the open source world, and you know, Docker had Docker Swarm, and they still do technically. But the idea is that, you know, you need these tools to help you manage these large deployments of containerized applications. So the bottom line is Kubernetes is designed to make that better. On top of that, then you have supporting technologies like Helm, which is often referred to as the package manager for Kubernetes. And we're just, you know, probably the biggest issue is just it's its own world of all these things you got to learn. And then it's got its own vocabulary, but it's really, you know, lots of people are using it. So there's active development, and it's just, you really got to decide if you're going to do this, you're going to jump in. And once again, as I've worked with it and go, yeah, I mean, there's lots of value. Don't get me wrong. I think it's amazing technology. But I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm doing containers, therefore I need Kubernetes. And if you're particularly going to go to the cloud and go specifically, I'll just speak to Azure, is that Azure has some options for using for containers that may be a better solution, like Azure App Service, rather than going full-blown Kubernetes. Because to get the benefit of Kubernetes, you're going to need at least three nodes, which represent in Azure will be virtual machines. And there's my dog saying hello. And, you know, there's a lot that goes in there. So there's different cost structure and everything else. And once again, you know, big enterprise might not care about the cost, but I'm always cost conscious when I think about what I show people.
Well, one of the things we announced around Kubernetes is Kubernetes integration with Azure Pipelines. So we've made it a little bit easier now if you're using Azure Pipelines to build applications with Docker containers and actually deploy them off onto Kubernetes clusters. And we've actually got a Kubernetes environments view available in Azure Pipelines now. So there's some good goodness there, I believe.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of sexy, a lot to play with. The Visual Studio team released some new features for working with containers in that inner developer loop that you might have going on. So yeah, there's a whole ton of announcements around the developer worldview and working with Kubernetes, both from the that you know, individual developer than the team with Azure Pipelines.
And the other announcement that I really wanted to bring up was about Azure Artifacts. So we've changed the pricing model a little bit, changed it to be pay per gigabyte. So essentially every organization now gets 2 gigabytes of storage free on Azure Artifacts, and then they'll get charged at a tiered rate starting at about $2 per gigabyte and decreasing down to about 25 cents per gigabyte. And there's a whole, we'll provide a link to all the full details and the pricing and all that. But, you know, we've now put that model out there for how people can use that service.
Yeah, if you go to your Azure DevOps account, and we can put a link in the show notes, you can easily see what your current consumption rate is, what you're using and everything else. And this is really a big win, especially, I think, you know, you can argue for some people, it's not a big win, particularly people that were shoving just anything and everything into Azure Artifacts. But for those organizations that wanted to use it but didn't have VS Enterprise licenses and, you know, trying to think about managing, well, who needs a package license for Azure Artifacts? It really is a nice win to really get it out there for everybody. And if it's managed judiciously, you don't even have to pay anything, because 2 gigs is a lot when you think about just storing compiled NuGet packages, NPM packages, et cetera. You know, that's a big win. Now you think about the fact that you have universal packages and people aren't shoving VMs in there. Okay, well, you know, all bets are off at that point, but, you know.
Just depends on how you decide you want to use it. So is there anything else about Build that you'd like to bring up, Brian, before I introduce you to a new segment of the show?
Oh, geez. No, I think right now I'm still digesting Build, and I think when we do our next show, we'll have more to talk about. In particular, right, you know, Build was last week. That was Monday through Wednesday. I went and did a workshop on Thursday. The weekend came, and then I've been gone. So I'm still catching up on watching talks and playing with the technology. One thing I also love, though, in Azure DevOps, this rolled out on the last sprint. We're now deploying sprint 152. But on sprint 151 now, if you go to your main page on Azure DevOps for your organization at the root, they now tell you what sprint is deployed into your organization. I really like that. That's a very helpful feature.
Yes, that's very, very nice. But you've led me very well into the new segment, which is, where in the world are Brian and Mickey going to be? Because as y'all know, we travel a lot. So Brian, just out of curiosity, and you're perfectly welcome to say you don't want people to stalk you, but I know how much you like people to stalk you. So if anyone was going to try to find you in the next couple of weeks, where would you be?
Well, next week I'll be in London. So I'll be at SDD, so Software Design and Development Conference in the heart of London at the Barbican. And so I'll be there for the week. I will be visiting some friends, I think Wednesday. So I'll be away from the city for a bit. But if you're in town, look me up there, reach out to me on Twitter, and maybe we can meet up for a pint. So that's London. Then I come back, deal with family, of course, Memorial Day weekend. And then I will be heading out to Lansing, Michigan for a private event. And then I'm home. And then, so now we're 3 weeks in, and the fourth week coming up, I'll be in lovely Boston for VS Live, and you will not be there, but you're one of your team members, Tiago Pascual, will be there, and we're going to do an Azure DevOps workshop and talk about all sorts of fun stuff. So that's what I'm up to. What are you going to do, Mickey? Because right now you're in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Then what?
I am. So next week I will be in Chevy Chase, Maryland again. I'm hoping to actually make it into Washington, D.C. one evening, because I think it would be cool to go see like the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument at night.
You got to go into D.C. First of all, the food's fabulous, but you got to go in at least at night because the monuments are all lit up. It's fantastic. You know, worst case, just hire an Uber driver to just drive you around the city for a little bit. But yeah, highly recommended.
So I'm planning on doing that. That's next week. Then I will be home for Memorial Day weekend and the week after Memorial Day. And then that weekend, May 31st, I will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Beer City Code doing a little talk. And then I will head to New Jersey, where I'll be hanging out in New Jersey for a couple of weeks.
New Jersey.
So if anyone happens to be at Beer City Code and is listening to this podcast, if you come up to me and say, hey, I listen to you on the podcast, I might have a little something for you.
Ooh, surprise.
First come, first serve.
Oh, look at you, pimping out some kind of swag, maybe.
Could be. It could be swag from Tupelo, Mississippi, because there is something that Tupelo, Mississippi is world famous for. Maybe you'll find out if you come up and tell me you listen to the podcast.
You're an absolute riot. All right, man. Well, I know it is late for you where you're at, so I think we'll call this...
Wait. No. We can't stop yet because... What's the one thing you can't let go of, Brian? I have something.
Well, I'm back to sleep. Sleep is what I can't let go of.
Oh, no. What I can't let go of is I fly Delta, and I like Delta. But, and of course, since we travel so much, we worry about our points. Because points and miles make traveling a little bit easier. But what I'm discovering is that with Delta now, it's not just my miles, but it's also how much you spend on your plane tickets in order to get the different statuses. So I'm about to hit the mileage level I want to be at, but I haven't spent enough money. And I'm unsure how I'm going to overcome that particular problem because, you know, I'm cheap.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, is unless you're trying to hit Diamond, you can have credit card spend to offset that, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to put money on credit cards.
Well, you put money on it and then you pay it off.
Yes, the whole paying it off part that sometimes can be the problem. Hey, what's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Shadow, and I'm about to yell at him because he's barking for no reason.
No, don't yell at Shadow. That is so staying in the program.
Oh, it's not because I was muted.
What was I going to say? So that's my can't let it go. So we'll see what I can do about that. Do you have anything you can't let go of, or are you really just going to go sleep?
Well, sleep is what I want to do, but I got work to do, so I'm going to be up for another couple hours catching up on some work. However, I guess what I can't let go of is tomorrow night, because tomorrow night is when we're going to go see John Wick 3, Parabellum. My wife and my son just love those movies, and so we're excited to go watch it on Friday night in the theater and on the big screen. So that's probably what I can't let go this week. In fact, my son is excited because they actually put a John Wick skin in the Fortnite store. So he's jonesing to play Fortnite tomorrow as well and everything else. I wanted to sit down and try and play with him, but I got to fly out on Saturday, so I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I got too much to do.
Oh, and we didn't talk about Avengers, but we'll save that for next week. And believe it or not, as huge a fan I am of Keanu Reeves, I have not seen any of the John Wick movies yet.
Okay, now you just made me sad and depressed. Okay, we're going to rectify that.
I own them, but I have not watched them yet.
Who are you? What is your... I mean, good grief, Charlie Brown.
So, Brian, if people want to find out more about the show or send us questions, I figured they should probably send us an email at theshow@devops.fm. That's one way you could reach us. But other ways you could send us questions, and I'd love some questions, is you could reach out to me on Twitter. Again, all my information will be in the show notes, but I'm on Twitter at Mickey_Gousset, or you can email me at Mickey.Gousset@Microsoft.com. So I'd love for you to reach out. I'd love to hear from some listeners. What about you, Brian? What's your personal phone number that people could call you at?
909-555-1212. You know what? If someone really wants my phone number, they can find it. It's not that hard to get my office number. You want my personal number, you're going to have to open that with a PO. No offense. But in either case, you can find me on Twitter at Brian Randall, BrianRMCWTech.com, and of course the show at DevOps.fm. I have it hooked up on my phone, and it's lonely in the show's inbox right now, so send us an email.
Oh, I forgot to say, and this was episode number 5?
Did you forget how to count?
I just forgot to go look at the website before we started. So
no, this is episode number 6.
Oh, is this up number 6? Okay, so this is episode number 6. We'll call this the post-build blues episode.
That sounds funny.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of DevOps.fm. Or just DevOps.fm. Or just Mickey and Brian talk about crap.
That's one way to look at it.
So, Brian, folks don't know this because they're just listening to the audio because we don't do this on Twitch yet. But, you know, we're doing this on Skype and we can see each other. And I'm enjoying the rainbow of colors of pads that you have draped over some of your monitors. Now, for those of you that don't know, Brian has introduced me to this where with your laptops, he has these, I don't know what they're called, but basically these sheets of stuff that he puts down on the keyboard. So when you shut the keyboard, it doesn't make the key impression on the monitor. And they're really nice little
claws. They're called screensavers. The ones I have, I bought from a company called Red Tech. They're not cheap, but they're really nice material. They don't scratch the screen. And so, yes, I have somewhat of a rainbow array for them. But yeah, what happens is with the laptops that started, their primary focus is MacBooks. But as the vendors like Apple got the machines thinner and thinner, they got the screen, you know, micrometers from the top of the keyboard. And the problem is you put it in your bag and your bag falls over and stuff. Just the weight of not a paperback, but, you know, just not much weight is going to cause the screen to push down. And over time, what happens is as you walk around with that bag and it's pushing, it's getting these micro impressions. So I found this happening on one of my ThinkPads years ago. And so I ordered them. And so I have them for all my ThinkPads and my MacBooks that I put in there in between to keep them from scraping.
And that's something that I started doing because I had noticed that on one of my laptops, I did have all those the key impressions on my screen. So now I've actually got one that also doubles as a mouse pad, but I think I'm going to order some of the ones you have because you even converted Tiago Pascual, who is going to be at VS Live in Boston in June, and he has started using those as well.
Yeah, they're a big thing. And for, you know, the level of OCD I have around hardware, it's you know, it makes me happy when I don't see.
Ooh, speaking of hardware.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Brian hates it when I cut him off. But speaking of hardware, I ordered me a little mini wireless router to carry with me now. Because I know you do, and I'm trying to be like you. And I'm
but
trying
did
to be
you
like
get
Anthony
the right
Borton.
One? Because this is.
I ordered the one that Anthony Borton has, which is also friended. That's it. That's the exact one I bought.
You got the Slate? So this is the GL-AR750 Slate. What I love about this and what got me really excited is not only does it do the WIPS where you can hook up, bridge a Wi-Fi network, it has a built-in mini gigabit network. And I was carrying a separate one from TP-Link with a separate gigabit switch. Now, the gigabit switch was nice to carry because it had 5 ports. So that gave me 4 to route between my different machines, and then I could hook in 1 to the router. However, most of the time, I'm only putting 2 that I'm copying big amounts of data that I want that gigabit. And here's the other thing. 2 of my machines have Thunderbolt 3, so I can actually network them directly if I really want to move lots of data. So this is a win because it's nice and small. It can be USB powered. Good win. We'll put that in the show notes as well.
To me, I usually only lately here have been traveling with just one laptop, but I was also thinking, though, that if I did start using that, I could make it easier. I could put my phone and my iPad and my laptop on the same little internal wireless network to make it easy to potentially, you know, move stuff around from that standpoint. So I brought it with me on this trip, but my room does not have a wired plug.
Well, you can just bridge the wireless.
As you can tell, I have not read the manual that comes with my wireless router that I bought because I did not know that. So I will have to try that next week.
You really need help, my brother.
I do indeed. All right, let's call it a night.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. Have a good day. Be good humans. Talk to you later.
Good night, everybody.